Okay, the bite side. Today's daf is daf Tezvav. We're holding the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Dalid Amid Beis. You'll recall, Rabbi Isai, that we had a Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, where there we spoke about a lady, a young, single lady, and we find that she's Mu'uberes. And we want to know, to whom is she Mu'uberes? The reason for our asking is not because of curiosity. Brother Shai, we just started a moment ago. We're just reviewing the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. Good morning, Sarge. We're reviewing the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, where the Mishnah says that if we find a lady Mu'uberes, we ask her, Ma tivay shel uberzeh? To whom did you become pregnant? Why are we asking? Not because of idle curiosity, because we want to know whether this lady subsequently can go and marry a Kohen. Because if she married a person who is, quote, a kosher individual, then she remains kosher, and she can marry a Kohen subsequently. If she, however, for instance, lived with a mamzer or a nosin or someone else in that type of category, she would have the status of a zoina, and she could not marry a Kohen. So we have a machloikis in the Mishnah. Ram Gamliel says, if she said, I lived with a choshev person, not necessarily gur choshev, but it means a person who is kosher, we believe in her menes. Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo mipiu anu chayim. We don't listen to her. We have to assume the worst, that maybe she lived with a nosin, a mamzer, or someone else, and therefore she'd be psula lekahuna unless she can prove otherwise. So machloikis, Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Now we have something similar. Zog the Mishnah. Mishnah Yud Dalid Amud Beis. Amud B'Yoisi. Masa betinoikis sheyorda lemalis mayim min ho'ayim. There was a young girl who went down to go and fetch some water, to draw water, from an ayin. Rashi says, ayin is the same thing as a ma'ayon. Ma'ayon is like a spring of water. So she went down to go and draw water. Venen said, unfortunately, loyolenu, someone came and was ma'aneser, violated the young lady. Now, we don't know who violated her. We assume it wasn't from the tzaddiki hador, but nevertheless, was it a person who has the status of a kosher, or is it a person like a mamzer or a nosin? Omer b'yoich ben nuri, emroiv anche ir masiyan lekona. Let's go and take the statistics of that town, wherever she was living. If it turns out the roiv of those people happened to be ksheirim, so you can assume that the one that unfortunately was ma'aneser was a kosher, and harizut also the kahuna, and therefore she would be able to go and marry into the kahuna. Now, the Gemara wants to know, who is this man di Omar? Is this Rav Gamliel? Or is this Rav Yeshua? Omli Rav Rav Nachman. Rav Yochanan Nuri di Omar Kaman. Who does he hold like? Ikram Gamliel, afilu b'roif psulim nami machshir. Rabbi Yochanan Gamliel said, even b'roif psulim. Where did we have that afilu b'roif psulim? If you go back to Yud Gimel Amud Beis, we had Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who said, this is, if you're looking back on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, it's roughly three quarters down the Amud, in the middle of the line, Messiah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Dom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ledivri HaMachshir, Machshir Afilu B'roif Psulim, that means Rav Gamliel, who said that we assume that this lady lived with a kosher, even if Roif people in the vicinity happened to be Psulim. For instance, it was a town where the majority of the inhabitants, for instance, were Goyim, then he's Machshir even though Roif Psulim, and Fakert. And the one that is poisel, the real poisel afilu b'roif ksheirim. In other words, loy pluk, he doesn't look at statistics. If regardless of whether it was roif ksheirim, roif psulim, Rabbi Yochanan holds that we believe her. Tosis points out that we have to throw in one more ingredient, because throughout the last few blatta, we always say that the reason for Ram Gamliel is not only because she had a chazaka of kashrus until now, but because she is always stating her claim, bari, clear, cut, concise. She says, bari, we are shema, bari v'shema, bari adif. So the bottom toisa says here, I'm sorry?
His bori that he was a kosher?
She was a bori that he was a kosher, correct.
But then she knows who this culprit was.
That is correct. Exactly. So now the question is, once we know that she knows and she says bori, so what does the Mishnah have to talk about your roiv nish roiv? According to Gamliel, you go baser chaskes kashrus, because from the moment that she was born, she was ksheira. You want to take her away from her chazaka, all she has to do is say, bori, I'm telling you this is the situation. We don't know, bori v'shema bori adith. And therefore says, Ram Gamliel ne'amenes. That being the case, Freyti Gemara, who cares roiv psulim? Who cares roiv ksheirim? The important thing that I care about is that it was bori. If you look at the last Tosis, you see it starts off, Kemani Kram Gamliel, Afilu Barei Psulim. Vim Toimar Volei Mechshe Barei Psulim, Elikishet En Is Bari. Vislei Migoy, Migoy, she could have said that I was a Mukas Eitz. So if you skip down to four lines before the end of the Omid in the Tosis, Vishloimar Dohachi Perushoi, Kemani Kram Gamliel, Uba Ti En Is Bari. Ubaloi Ra'ua Shenensa, but it's got a, you're talking about that it was a bori situation. So bottom line is, since it was a bori, according to Gamliel, l'choyda we should believe her, even b'roiv psulim. Zok Gemara Ikra Bishua, back to the Gemara, Ikra Bishua afele b'roiv ksherim nami posel. That's the same Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that says that according to Rabbi Yeshua, Loi mi pia onu chayim, even if the roiv ksheirim, we still do not go and believe her. And that being the case, for Eiti Gemara, our Mishnah therefore, l'choyre doesn't stim either like Ram Gamliel or like Rabbi Yeshua. Theoretically, of course, you can go and say, well, in fact, it's the third man the Yomar. And that third man the Yomar, Rabbi Yechim ben Nuri. However, that would be a difficult pshat. Because if that's the case, why didn't Rabbi Yechim Anuri argue back on Daf Yud Gimel? Why did he wait until our Mishnah? So therefore we want to say that Rabbi Yechim Anuri either learns Ram Gamliel or like Rabbi Yeshua, and the question is, how and where, how does this work out? Everything Gemara. Amalei. This is a question that Rava posed to Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman answered, Hochi Omer Yehuda Omer Rav, Bekroinois Shel Tzipoiri Hoya Maisa. So first Rashi points out on the bottom of the Amud Beis that Rabbi Yochim Anuri holds like Rabbi Yeshua. And since like he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, normally the halacha would be, we assume the worst, that she was Nensa Al Yidei Pasul. And therefore, Loi Mipi Anu Chayim, we don't believe her, and she is Pasul. And she cannot marry the Kahuna. So why does our Mishnah say that if it was Roiv, and she ear work shadim, then she's believed. Tinosalikuna says Imor, it's talking about in the town of Tzipoiri, Bekroinois Shel Tzipoiri. Why does the Gemara talk about that it's Tzipoiri? So the Rishash says, we learn from two other Gemaras that Rabbi Yossi lived in Tzipoiri. And since it's Rabbi Yossi speaking in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is telling something that happened locally, as he was a resident of Tzipoiri. And he tells us that it's not talking about just any roiv of Tzipoiri, it's talking about the Yoim Hashuk. Yoim Hashuk typically in the good old days was on Mondays and Thursdays, where people sold all of their wares out in the open in the marketplace. And on those days, you had people coming from other towns and other communities, either to sell or to buy. And therefore, says our Gemara, it's talking about that there were two roivs on that day. What were the two roivs? Number one, that roiv of the people in Tzipoiri were Anoshim Ksheirim. And number two, that the Koroin, or the Kroinois, those are the wagons that arrived. Those are in today's parlance, we would say, the flights that arrived at the airport. Most of the people that came on those flights were also Ksheirim. And therefore, as a result, says Rashi and says the Gemara, we have two roivs. So even though normally Rabbi Yeshua would say, Loi mipia anu chayin, and she unfortunately would be considered psul l'kahuna, but here I had two kosher roivs. See, if you look at the last Rashi on the Amud Beis, Back Yudalim at Beis, the last Rashi, Omalei Hachi Omar, Omar, Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav, Lo'olam Kerbi Yeshua. I, Rabbi Yeshua, says, we don't believe her, Lo'im Epiya Anu Chayim. V'hachem Yishim Dekatrei Rubi Vekashris. There are two roives. Therefore, Achshira, Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda explains, Kam Mefarish Taim of Yozel Maishna Trei Rubi Mechad Ruba. The Gemara is going to explain what difference does it make, one roiv or two roives. Why would Rabbi Yeshua by one roiv say she's pasul? Why by two roivs would Rabbi Yeshua say she is kosher likahuna? So again, Hakim Rabbi Yehudah Bikroin Yishul Tzipoyri Hoya Maisa. Bikroin Yishul means the wagons that arrived in Tzipoyri Biyoim Hashuk. Uke Rabbi Ami Yom Rabbi Ami Vuhu Shahoy Sasiya Shol Bnei Odom Kshenum Oiveres Lisham. We're talking about a day like a Monday or Thursday, where not only roiv the people who lived in Tzipoyri were kosher, but also the visitors, the tourists, the sellers, the buyers that arrived on these kroinois, also rubam ksheirim. Uke Rabbi Yanai, the Amar Rabbi Yanai, neveles pikroinois, ksheiro de kohuna. If she was nevela pikroinois in the wagons, then she's kosher the kohuna. Now the loshen ha-gimora pikroinois, the Gemara says pikroinois okataitach, doesn't make a difference whether she was ne'ensa inside a wagon or not inside a wagon. In other words, the way Rabbi Yanai says his words, nevelas bikroinois, it sounds like the bia, the maisa oinus, took place in a koroin. Says he, well, come on, does that have any halachic significance? Are we talking about dafkin the wagon? Ela nevelas bishas kroinois. Oh, we're not talking about physically in the koroin. We're talking about on a day when there was not only a roiv of the local Tzipori people being ksherim, but we're talking about a day when they're kroinis because it's Yom Hashuk, it's a market day, that most of the people that arrived on the flights that arrived that day were also ksherim the kohuna. All those people were ksherim. In such a case, I say that she is ksherim the kohuna because we have the two roivs together. So Kimara, so now you're telling me, Aval Pirish Echan Mitzipoiri Uboal Havlat Shnuki. But what happens if it would be a situation where, for instance, it wasn't a market day? Or even if it was a market day, we know for a fact that the person who did the Maisa Oinis was one of the townspeople and not one of the visitors. What would be the din? Then I would not rely on the two roivs, and I'd go back to the normal halacha of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, Loi mipiyo anu chayim, and therefore the child that would be born from this maisa oines, shtuki, would be a suffik mamzer because we don't know what his status is, who the father was, mevesnish. I roiv of the people in Tzipori Akshayim. One roiv is not enough, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, who holds like Rabbi Yeshua. And in fact, this pshat of the one roiv and the two roivs, this was not only Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, but ki hodin chi osa Rav Dimi Amar Zeiri Amar Bchanina. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said the name of Zeiri Amar Bchanina. The Amrilah and others had a girsa Amar Zeiri Amar Bchanina without Rav Dimi's involvement. What did they say? Holchen acher roiv ve'ir ve'ein holchen acher roiv seir. Then when it comes to such a maisa oines, we go after the roiv of the townspeople. We don't go after roiv of the people that are traveling visitors. The Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. Klapi laya. It should be the other way around. Why? Because hani naidi v'hani kviv v'kaimi. As the Gemara is going to tell us in another few lines, and as we are familiar from other Gemaras, there are two rules when you're talking about roiv. Is the roiv something that was kavua, or is it a roiv that someone left the roiv and is traveling outside of the roiv? The Gemara calls that those two rules called kavua kemechtze al mechtze dami. If you have something which is a kvius, even though there is a roiv in one direction or the other, The famous case is the case the Gemara is going to give us shortly, when you have, for instance, 10 butcher stores, 9 of them sell, for instance, kosher meat, 1 of them sells treifa meat. A person went into one of the 10, and he comes out, and he has amnesia, and says, I don't remember which one of the stores I went into. So since he is now with, since he bought from one of the 10 stores, even though statistically, 90% he probably went into a kosher store. Nevertheless, since it's kavua, these 10 stores are there, cemented in place, the halacha is, kol kavua kemechtz al mechtz dami. We ignore the statistics, and we say it's like a 50-50 chance. That is what we call kavua. What happens, however, if somebody walks down the street and finds a piece of meat on the street, and he's wondering, where did this come from? Did this come from the kosher stores, or did it come from the non-kosher store? And there we say, kotet parish, meruba parish. Anything that left the kvius, then we assume came from the roif. And therefore, if 9 stores are kosher, 1 store is not kosher, we assume that that meat is kosher. So now, let's get back to our situation over here. Reb Zeiri Amar Reb Chanina said that you go after roif ve'ir and not after roif sia. Says the Gemara, logically it should be the other way around, because the roif sia, by definition, are people that are parish meruba parish. The sia don't live in this karayim. These are people who are traveling. They left the roif. Therefore, there it would make sense to say you go basa roif. By the case of the roif ve'ir, there, since the people live in that city, I should say that they're all kavuah. And kol kavuah kemechzal mechzadami. So if anything, the svara should be just the opposite. Klapilaya. Klapilaya is an expression which means v'nahapachu. It should be just the opposite. In the case of the roiv ir, I should say, you cannot go after the roiv because these people are kviva kaimi. In the case of the roif siya, I should be able to go after the roif siya because these are people which are naidi. Naidi means nov and nod. They are traveling. So, Frank Timora, Klapi Layani, Naidi, Mani Kviva Kaimi. Says Yigmor, you're absolutely right. And therefore, we have to amend and expand on what Rav Dimi said in the name of Zeiri, said in the name of Rav Chanina. Ella, we start again the same memra. Hoilchen acha roi vo'ir. We go after roi vo'ir. But when? Davkevu de ikka roi v'sia bahado. When you have 2 roivs, you have the roi vo'ir and you have the roi v'sia. Oh, just like we said in the name of Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, that we're talking about the kroino shotzi poiri, that we had 2 roivs. Roiv of the city, roiv of the sia, with 2 roivs, she is able to go and marry the kahuna. However, v'ein holchan acha roiv ve'ir greidisa. But if you only have roiv ve'ir, that's not enough. One roiv doesn't do it. V'lo acha roiv siya greidisa, and not after roiv of the siya, because it's also only one roiv. It's gotta be 2 roivs. Now you're wondering, how could I have a roiv of the siya alone? Says Rashi, what happens if the ma'isa oynis took place far from the city? In other words, this koroin stopped off somewhere for instance, a bathroom break, and it was at that time, and it was an hour away from the city, and at that time, unfortunately, they transpired a maisa oinis, so the only roiv that I would be looking to would be the roiv sia. One roiv doesn't do it, according to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua requires 2 roivs. And that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri of our Mishnah. And that's the pshat of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. And that's the pshat of Rabbi Yanai. And the pshat of Rabbi Dimi Amar Zeiri Amar Rabbi Chanina. 2 roivs do it. 1 roiv is not enough. Now you're going to ask a question. Vos is me nafkimina, 1 roiv or 2 roivs? My time, I'll tell you why. It's all because of a gezeira. Gezeira roiv siya, or 2 roiv ir. We start off with that the siya alone, l'choira, if I have a roiv, that should be enough. In other words, if I'm only concerned about roiv siya, it was rochoik min ha'ir, like Rashi says, that should be enough, because you go bas a roiv. However, the reason why we do not go bas a roiv is gezeira ot roiv ha'ir, because people say, oh, You're going after one Rav. So let's go after one Rav in the city as well. Okay, so Vus Yishlecht says, Yimor V'Rav Yirnami. Either Ka'azli Inu Ligabar. If we're talking about that she was in a place, after all, she was in the Ayin. She was in the Maya. If somebody left their home in Tzipori and went down to her, and unfortunately was Ma'aneser, again called the Parish Meruba Parish. So again, that would be L'choyda sufficient with one Roif. The problem is L'tzricha de Ka'azli Ihi Ligabayu. As she was drawing from the Maya, apparently there was some sinister person who was able to lure her to his house. So now she goes into one of the homes of the people who live in that town in Tzipori. Now those people that live in their homes, they're kavua. The havli kavua. The Yom Reb Zeira called kavua. Kemachsal machsa dami. And therefore the Gemara explains now why we need the two roifs. I need the two roifs because if I would say roif siya alone is enough, I don't need two roifs. Then I would say then roif for ear would also be enough. If the roif the ear is enough, then I'll say not only in a case where someone came and violated her by leaving his home and coming to her, but even in a case where she came to the person's home, there too I would say you go bust a roif kshedim. But that's wrong. If she's going into one of the people's homes, it's mechza al mechza. Because kol kavua ke mechza al mechza dami. If it's 50-50 and I don't know, I'm going to have to go and be machmir and say that she is asura le kahuna. So it's because of this double roiv that I take care of this issue. Frank Timara, umi beinim trei rubi, is it taka true you need two roivs? Vatanya, let's taka go to the case of the butcher stores that we spoke about before. Teisha chanoyes kulan moichreis basa shchuta. You got nine stores on the same street, all selling kosher meat. V'yachas, and then there's a tenth store that's mecheres basa nevela, which is selling non-kosher meat. V'lokach meyachas mehen. Somebody went into one of the 10 stores. He comes out. I say, Yanka, where did you get your meat from? V'niyadea. He has a temporary loss of memory. And he says, I don't know. I don't remember. I'm not sure. V'niyadea me'izim mehen lokach. In such a case, even though 9 out of 10, he probably went to the kosher store, just statistically. Sveikoy oser, since he doesn't know, the suffix is osur. Why is the suffix osur? Because kol kavua kemechze al mechze dami. Ubenimtze, however, if you find the meat in the street, then ein lechacha roif. Then you go after roif, because you assume it came out of one of the 9 kosher stores. Anyway, what do I see by the meat? That I say you're allowed to eat the meat because it probably came from a kosher store. There was only one roif over here. You didn't have two roifs. So you see it's enough to go after one roif. Why in our Mishnah do we have to have the double roif? V'chitayim, maybe you're going to answer there is also talking about a double roif. V'she'ein daltzois medina ne'ulois. It's talking about a day where the daltzois medina were not sealed, meaning that there was traffic, gesundheitsarch, that people came from other places, other communities, and the k'osi loh, ruba me'alma. So in fact, it was a double roiv. The double roiv was one roiv in the town itself. Roiv of the butcher stores were kosher, as well as roiv of the people that traveled that day to that town, says Rashi, is talking about roiv siyas tavche Yisrael ksheirim. That most of the people that were traveling that day were kosher people, meaning kosher butchers, kosher shochtim. So therefore, I take have two roifs. Is that the case that we're talking about by the butcher stores, that there were two roifs? But Reb Zeira afal pi shedaltes medina neulois. Reb Zeira said, no. The halacha that you can go bust a roif if you found meat on the street from one of the 10 stores. You say that you can rely that since 9 of the stores are kosher, you could say that this meat is also kosher, because kol de parish meruba parish, even if the medina was shut, sealed that day, so nobody's coming in from outside, so you only have one roiv is enough. So why is it by kosher meat one rav is enough? And in our Mishnah, when we're talking about this tinoike shenensa, we have to have two roivs, roiv ha'ir, v'roiv ha'siyam. Ever the Gemara mala osu b'yachsin. You're right, me'ikad d'dina, the same halacha should apply to both. But when talking about yichus, of people getting married, we don't want to have tainted lineage. We don't want the kehanim to have to be concerned, maybe I have a chalola who's in the mix, maybe I have a zoyna in the mix. We want to keep the kehanim as pure as possible. So it's a special ma'ala that will only believe this young lady that she is kshera l'kuna if you have a double roiv. Kosher meat, one roiv is enough. Ma'ala b'yachsin, you have to have two roivs. Since we've talked about the din of kol kavur k'machzal nechzadami, the Gemara wants to know, does this apply only l'chumra or also l'kula? And we also want to know, what's the makar, what's the source? Because after all, on the surface it sounds very strange. A person went into one of 10 stores. I don't know which store he went into. He doesn't know which store he went into. He just knows that he's carrying meat. And we ask him, which one? I don't know. Even though 90% statistically he took it from the kosher stores. Guess what? Kol kavur kemechzal mechzadami, I'm machmir, and I say it's a sofik nevela. A Jew is not allowed to eat it. Gufa om Reb Zeira, kol kavur kemechzal mechzadami. Says Reb Zeira, bein lekula, bein lechumra. In both directions. The din of kol kavur, both if it lands up with a kula, or whether it lands up with a chumra, we hold this din of kol kavur. Frankly, when Manoli Reb Zeira ha, where does Reb Zeira take this from? Ilema miteisha chanoyas, is he taking it from the case of the 9 kosher butcher stores? Kula moichris basa shchutu v'yachas basa nevela, v'lokach miyachas miyam ben yodem, miyazen lokach. What's the din? We said before, sveikoi osur. The suffix is taka osur. Ubenimtso, but if you found it in the street, heilach acharoif, and you say it's kosher. So what do I see in the case of teisha chanoyas? Where it's all kavuim, we're saying hasam l'chumra. We're machmir. We're saying even though statistically it probably came from the kosher store, mechzal mechzadami, and it's sveikoi osur. So I only see l'chumra. Where do I find the kula? Oh, ela mitishet sefardim v'sheretz echad beinayim. You have 9 frogs, and you have 1 sheretz among the frogs. And Rashi says the sheretz among the frogs is probably the tzav. As you know, in Parshas Shmini, there is a list of what we call the shmoinish rotzim. We colloquially use the term sheretz for any type of insect, for any type of rodent. If we see, for instance, a roach, especially if you see a water bug, say, oi, a sheretz, oi, get it out of here. But that is not necessarily the case of the Shmoinish Rotzim. Shmoinish Rotzim are 8 special rodents that, when they are dead, they metame tumas sheretz. You could have, for instance, a frog. A frog, a tzvardeya, is definitely not among the 8. We today don't know for sure what the 8 are. One of them is halto'a, lito'a. We assume that is a lizard. Then there's another one, a chomet, which we assume is a snail. But none of these do we know absolutely for sure. In fact, there's a couple of chumashim, which are very, very mituktik, very meduyak, and they have footnotes on the bottom as to what the likely definition of these 8 shrutzim are. But tzvardeya for sure is not one of them. There is one that looks very similar to a tzvardeya. Rashi says it's probably the tzav. That's one of the 8 shrutzim mentioned in the pasuk. What exactly is a tzav? So in some chumashim it's defined as a toad. Toad and frogs, as you know, look very, very similar. But there's a major difference. If you have a dead tzvardeya, a dead frog, and you touch it, or you pick it up, or you embrace it, or you hug it, it may not be something that appeals to you. It might, in fact, be quite repulsive, but you do not become tame. Not all dead creatures are metame. If you're talking about a dead animal, it's what we call a nevela. If you're talking about shrotim, it's only if the eight shrotim. Assuming that a water bug is not among those eight shrotim, if a person steps on a water bug, although he feels that he probably has to take three showers, but nevertheless, if it's not one of the shemoneh shrotim, he does not have to go to the mikveh. He is not tummy. And therefore, talking about our frogs, most people would not want to step on a frog, whether the frog is alive or dead. And you'd say, I stood on the frog and I'm going to clean off my shoes and all the rest. All of that is fine. However, you do not become tamei because it's not a nevelas behema and it's not considered to be a dead sheret. Okay? Yes, sir.
You can determine if it's a frog by measuring its IQ. But as we learned at the Pesach Seder, Zom Tifardeya.
Ay, 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 ay. I love you, Shelley. That brings in some humor to otherwise a very, very dry topic of touching dead rodents. Yishakoyach. And it was a very good comment, even if it was a dumb comment, but it was very good nevertheless. So let's get back to our Gemara. And the Gemara tells us, so what happens if you have nine tzvardim, nine frogs, and there's a tenth one, which is not a tzvardim, it's a tzov, it's a one of the shmoneh shrotim. And he touched one of them. The Einia de Bezman Nogin, he doesn't know which one he touched. Some of you are probably thinking, but that's not a kavua situation, because after all, frogs jump around. That's one of the well-known items or indicia of a frog. Except we're talking about, of course, dead frogs.
They're dead frogs.
Exactly, dead frogs. So it could be that each one of these frogs has already hopped around and jumped around 1,000 times during their short lives. However, now they're dead. So they don't jump around anywhere. So I got now 10 rodents on the floor. 9 of them are confirmed frogs. One of them is a sheret. And the person stepped on one of them. He wanted to look back, but he couldn't. They looked so repulsive, he just ran for his life. He doesn't know which one he touched. So what's the din? This person is unfortunately a little bit touched. He has touched one of the frogs or the sherets. What does he do? Daloch is sveikoi tamei. Why is the suffix tamei? Because you have, even though 90%, 9 out of 10, he probably stepped on a frog and he is not tamei. But since all of these 10 are lying there, baking in the sun or what have you, they're considered to be kavuim. Called Kavua, Kemechza, Mechza Dami, I have a suffix, and he's Tameh. Rashi points out that this suffix Tumah is talking about Bereshus HaYochid, because the suffix Tumah, Bereshus HaRabim, Sveikoi Tohar. Which, of course, we learn, Barry, from where? Where do we learn this from? From Soita. You're on mute, but I'm sure you're saying from Soita. Because by Soita it says Venitma, and that's always talking about a suffix. Yeah, exactly. It's talking about a suffix behind closed doors. So we have a suffix. Rishus Seyochid is Tameh, a suffix Rishus Serabim is Tahar. Anyways, this is talking about Rishus Seyochid. So Zoktimara, if you want to bring a raya from there that we go by Kol Kavua Kemechzel Mechzedami, we're Hasim Nami L'chumra. That's also Chumra. Because without this rule of Kol Kavua, I would go and say the person is Tahar. He probably stepped on a frog. And a frog is not Mitame, it's not one of the Shrotzim. Hello! The other way around, Mitisha Shrotim and Tzvadei Echad Beinayim. Oh, just the opposite. There were 9 tzavs, or tzavim, if that's the right plural. 9 tzavs, which are all shrotim. If you step on it, touch it, pick it up, you become Tamei. Tzvadei Echad Beinayim, and one of them was a Tzvadeia, was a frog. You can call them, if you will, a kosher frog. Not that you're allowed to eat frogs, but kosher in the sense that it doesn't emit tumah if you touch it. And he touched taka, one of the 10. When he doesn't know which one he touched. So now, before continuing on, I would say, a 90% likelihood he touched the sherets, because 9 of them are tzavs, only one of them is a tzvardeya. So I would jump to the conclusion, just like a live frog would, that the person is probably tamei. However, says the Braisa, Rishus Yochid, it's a suffix, Sveikoi Tameh. which is Rav Nimsvekei Tohar. So this is the case that Reb Zeira is hanging his hat on for jumping frogs. That what's the din? That the din of Chol Kavua Kemechsel Mechsedam is not only the Chumra but even the Kula. Because if I was going after statistics, after Roiv, I would say the person is Zichr Tamei. But because of the fact it's Kavua, if it's Bishus Harabim, Svei Koytohar. Now that we know that Halacha, the question is, Umidirais Minolan. Where do we take this from? Where did you find in the Torah this halacha of kavua kemechzal mechzedam? Omakra, it says in the pasuk, v'orav loy v'kam olav. The simple interpretation of that pasuk is v'orav loy, the person lay in ambush, v'kam olav, and now he jumped on his victim, and never he killed him. The whole pasuk in context, if you have the Torah or Hashalim, is v'chiyah ish soinu l'reyehu. You have Yankel, who unfortunately hates Beryl. Doesn't tell us why he hated Beryl. Maybe the reason is because he was too much of a leftist, or maybe he was too much of a rightist. But whatever it was, he didn't like him. The Orav Loi, and he waited in ambush. The Kam Olav, and he jumped on him. The Ko Nafesh, and unfortunately he killed him. Vameis, and the person died. The Nasal Achasa Orav Ma'el, and then he runs away to one of the Orav Miklat. If in fact he did it Bemezid, it was Orav Lo, he ambushed. When he gets to the Orav Miklat, we're going to throw him out and say, go to Bezdin and see what Bezdin is going to paskin about you. And if there was Asroa Mitaydim, they're going to execute him. He cannot go and find refuge in the Orav Miklat. Anyway, the question is, why does he use this term, V'orav Loi, V'kam Olav? So you have machloikis between Reb Shimon and the Rabban. Reb Shimon says, Ad Shiskaven Loi. Ad Shiskaven Loi means he has to mechaven to that individual. What is that all about? So there's something in secular American law called transferred intent. Transferred intent means a person wanted to go and kill Yankel, and he shot at Yankel. Yankel ducked. The bullet didn't hit him, but Nebuch Beryl was standing in back of him, and Nebuch, he got the bullet, and Nebuch, he died. Very tragic. So it's what we call an innocent victim. He was trying to go and kill Yanko, and instead he killed Beryl. What's the din in such a case? Machloik is between Reb Shimon and the Rabban. Reb Shimon says, you're only chayiv if you intended killing the person that you shot at. Since he shot at Yanko, and he did not intend killing Beryl, he's off the hook. Misa bidei Adam. Misa's bezin, he is free. Yes, there is Misa bidei Shemoyim for what he did. What he did was terrible. He killed somebody. But they cannot go and execute him because he didn't intend killing. It's almost, if you will, a shogeg or an oinus vis-a-vis the person who he actually killed. Not a nice guy, for sure. No question about it. Misa midei shemoy. No misa's best. How does Reb Shimon learn it? From this pasuk. It says, v'orav loy, v'kam olav, achiskav loy. He has to have intended killing the victim that he killed. If he didn't intend killing that victim, no misa bideyot. Rabbanan respectfully disagree, and they hold in this case of transferred intent that he tried to kill Yankel and he killed Beryl. He is a roitzeach, and you can execute him. No problem. Now the question is, what did Rabbanan do with this pasuk? The orav loy v'kam olav. Ami de Rav Yanai prat lezoidik evan legav. What does that mean? Zoidik evan legav. That means a person who acted totally recklessly. Recklessly, meaning, hey chidoni, ilema di ika tisha kanan of the echad Yisrael beneim. Ah, we're talking about that there were 10 people assembled on a street corner. There was a Meshigina or a Russia, call them what you like, and he took a rock and he threw it at the group of 10, knowing that this rock was big enough and heavy enough to go and kill someone. Or in modern day parlance, a person just shot a bullet at a group of 10 people, hoping and praying that he's going to hit somebody. He's totally reckless. No particular intent against one person or the other person, just haphazardly, recklessly shooting into a crowd. What's the din then? That's what the Orav Loi V'kam Olav tells us. That if he chas v'sholem killed somebody, say the Rabbanan, then I agree with you. There is no din misa bidei Adam, but but only Misa B'dei Shemayim. And the Gemara explains. Hey Chidami, what's this throwing the Eben into a crowd? There are nine Goyim, and there's one Jew. And we're saying in this case, if he killed anyone, including the Jew, what's the din? He's Potter B'dei Adam. For typically to Rubik Kananim Ninu, you don't need to have a special possible Arav Levi Kamalov just because it's Roiv. Since you go Basar Roiv, Roiv of the possible victims were a Goyim, so that's why he's off the hook. The halacha is if a person kills a Goy, again, you can't execute him B'dei Adam, but he gets Misa B'dei Shemai. Inami, as well, is Palga U Palga. What happens if the 10 people were 5 Goyim and 5 Jews? Same halacha should apply. Suffering Vashis Lahakya. If you want to go and kill the Roitzayach, I don't know if you tell me that it's a suffering because it's 50-50. Suffering Vashis Lahakya, again, he'd be off the hook, B'day Adam, and Hashem would have to punish him, B'day Shemai. So what do I need the pasuk of the Arav Loi the Kam Olav? Loi Tzvicha the Ika Tishi Yisraelim, that there are 9 Jews, Ukanani Echa Beinem, and 1 Goyim among the 10. Even though I should say, since there were 9 out of 10 that were Jewish, if you threw the rock, we know statistically, in all likelihood, you're going to go and kill Chas v'Shalom, one of the Jews. The halacha of the Kam Olav comes to tell you that Kol Kavua, since these 10 people are considered to be Kavua, Kemechza al Mechza Dami have the din of 50-50, and therefore Safik Nefashis Lahakel, and this person is off the hook. B'day Adam Bezdin will not execute this individual. So we started off this Shtikl Gemara. How do we know that the halach of Kol Kavua Kemechza al Mechza Dami is Bein Lekula Bein Lechumra? Lekula I know from the previous case of the 9 Shiratzim and 1 Tzvardeya, that if it was a Safik Tumah B'Shus Rabim, Tohar. Where do I know this from the Pasik? The Arav Loi V'Kam Olav, according to the Rabbanon. Itmar, who are 3 lines from the bottom of the Amud. We return back to our Mishnah now. Our Mishnah started...
One second.
Yes, Barry.
In the case of the chair man, in the case of the Kronos, which is the people were considered moving, here...
In the case of the Korain and the case of the Tzipori at the top of the Omid, the local townspeople are all considered to be Kavuim because they all live here, they're all residents, they have their homes. In the case of the Sia by definition is a bus or a caravan or a wagon that is moving from place to place. All of these people that are in that Sia are travelers. They're not Kavuim, in fact, they don't want to be Kavuim. I want to go and buy or sell my merchandise, and I want to leave. So they are Purushim from the Ruba di Alma, the Roiv of people that live outside Tzipori, and there are lots of people. We don't focus on all the people that live in China or in India, because then we would be outnumbered many, many, many times. But we're just looking at all the people that are on that flight, or on that caravan. If there are 100 people altogether, and 60 of them happen to be Jewish and are Kshedim, and 40 happen to be Psalim, then we go and say that you go Basar, Roiv, and all of those people are considered to be Prushim, because all of them are traveling, none of them are Kvuim in this place. Getting back to Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, in the Mishnah we start off, Omer Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, that Imroiv Anchi Ir Masin the Kahuna Harizu Kinosan the Kahuna. She can go and marry to the Kahuna. Says our Gemara, 3 lines from the bottom, Itmar Ravchia Bar Ashi Omar Rav, Halochir Rabbi Yossi, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Ravchan Barova Omar Rav, Hoirua Shoh Hoisa. That was a special limit for that time, and you cannot learn it Lid Doirais. Now, as we'll see from the Gemara in a moment, the Gemara on the surface had, just like the person who bought the meat in the 9 stores, the Gemara has now, if you will, temporary amnesia from the previous discussion at the top of the Amud. Meaning that the Gemara at this moment assumes that the psak that we said in the name of Rabbi Yossi, or the Sairoa Sho Haisa, that there was only one roiv altogether. For instance, if you look at Rashi, two lines from the bottom of the Amud, Hairoas Sho Haisa, Hach de Rabbi Yochim ben Nuri, back in our Mishnah, Tzair Sho Haisa. What's the Tzair Sho? Hairosham Shar Tzidei Heker Dvarim Lahatir. They found other reasons that the Mishnah doesn't mention to go and be matter this woman, this Tinoikis, to marry the Kahuna. And you need two roivs. Remember, the way we learned the Mishnah, this was Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav on the bottom of the Amud, top of our Daf Tezvav. It's talking about that there were two roivs. However, Chanan Barava Amar Rav says the Mishnah is talking about one roiv, and it worked for that time and that period because there were other heterim that the Gemara does not expose or does not reveal. However, we relied on one heter, but or one roiv. But the future generations, the Doris, you'd have to have two roivs, which, by the way, as we just pointed out, is the real pshat in the Mishnah, two roivs. But the Gemara at the moment ignores that. And similarly, Moser Rabbi Yirmiya asks the kasha. Again, Rabbi Yirmiya assumes, now we're going back on Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav, that says, Halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, that again, our Mishnah is only talking about one roiv. See the bottom, Rashi on the bottom. Moser Rabbi Yirmiya, Kosoka Daitak, the Mishnah, roiv ho'ir, k'redesa achshirua, that there was only one roiv involved, like it says in the Mishnah, one roiv. The Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. So Frank gets the Gemara, Mosav Rabbi Yirmiya, Uli Yuchsin Loi Bu'in and Trei Rubi, don't we need two roivs? But Tanan, didn't we learn? Matzah Batinik Mushlach. What happens if you find Nebuchadnezzar in the street? You read about this or hear about this from time to time, that unfortunately parents abandoned their baby and left the baby somewhere on a park bench or in front of the police station, or wherever, or in a subway station. Nebuch, you hear about things like that even today. So, Matzah Batinik Mushlach. And you're wondering to yourself, what is this tinik? Is it a Jewish child? Is it a non-Jewish child? Says the Mishnah Meseches Machshirin, Imroiv Oivdik Chavim, if most of the townspeople are Goyim, then Oivdik Chavim, you can assume that this child is a Goy. What are the ramifications? We'll see in the Gemara further down the Amud. Im roiv Yisrael, if most of the people living in the town happen to be Yisraelim, then you assume it's a Yisrael. If it's Mechza Mechza, it's exactly 50-50. 50% of the town are Smiths and Jones. 50% are Goldbergs and Rosenbergs. 50-50. Can you assume also Yisrael? And the Gemara is going to ask, why didn't we just combine Mechza Mechza and roiv? Why do we enumerate these separately in roiv Yisrael, Yisrael, Mechza Mechza, Yisrael? So we're going to see that shortly. The Omer Rav. So now Rav said, Lo Yishonu, that we say that if Roiv Yisrael, if the town is Roiv Yisrael, then the child is probably also Yisrael. Lo Yishonu El Hachyoisoi, if you're talking about to go and save the child, and feed him, and support him, so he should live, then Roiv Yisrael, you have to assume it's Yisrael. Avliyochsen Loi, if afterwards this child, for instance, if it was a girl, and this girl now, 15 years later, is a 15-year-old, and she's pretty, and she is nice, and she has all the midas shekasa b'toira, and you want to marry her off to a kohen, no, avliyochsen Loi. Even though we assume that it was Yisrael, because roiv of the town is Yisrael, but you can't go and marry her off to yochsen, to a kohen. Ushmul Omar, Shmuel said that it says, L'choira, that Roiv Yisrael is Yisrael, L'fakeach Ola V'sagal, that if it happens to be on Shabbos Kodesh, and Nebuch, this child, is not just lying there in the subway station, but is lying there under a ton of junk, of trash, and you better go and extricate this child or the child is going to die. That's what I said, that, yes, L'fakeach Ola V'sagal, you're allowed to go and be Mechal Shabbos. On the surface, it sounds like Shmuel is talking about that only if it's Roiv Yisrael, you're allowed to go and save the child. However, the Gemara is going to change that pshat in another few lines. don't get caught up on that. But what is the kasha now? Says the Gemara, in this case, we only had one Roy of Yisrael. Zok the Gemara, you told me in the Mishnah, one Roy of Yisrael is enough. L'choir over here, you're saying that L'yuchsin Loy, the same Rav, right? The same Rav on the Amud Aleph, who says we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, the same Rav says over here, Loy shona l'hachi Yossi, but not for Yuchsin. Why not for Yuchsin? Because for Yuchsin, you have to have two Roivs, not just one Roiv. So how did Rav paskin like our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yossi, L'choir, which is only talking about one Roiv? And for the Gemara, Ishta Mitzah, you forgot what we learned at the top of the Amid, at the beginning of the Shir. Hogyam Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rav, the same Rav said that our Mishnah told Mekron Yishol Tzipoyri have a Maisa, where there were two Roivs, Roiv of Tzipoyri, Roiv of the Sia. When you have two, then Malli Yuchsin. You only have one Roiv, it can't be Malli Yuchsin, therefore the two Ravs are totally consistent with one another. Frank Timura. According to Rav Chanan Amar Bar Rava, which we assume means that there was only one Roiv at the time, what do you mean? Didn't we just say that the Mishnah is talking about that there were two Roivs? You're absolutely right. We have to go and say that whoever learned that there were two Roivs does not agree to Rav Chanan Bar Rava that says it was a Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't a Rosh Hashanah. The reason why they were Mali Yachsin, because it was Taka two Roivs. And if you're going to learn like Rav Chanan Bar Rava that says a Rosh Hashanah, he says that there was in fact only one Roiv. It wasn't talking about a Yoy Mashuk. It was just talking about a regular day. And like Rashi said in the Amid Aleph, Rav Chanan Bar Rava says there must have been some other heter that with Gemara doesn't explain. That's the reason why they were matter based on one, but l'doyrus, you always have to have two. So halacha l'maisa, according to everybody, our Mishnah only applies when you have two rice. Now, since we explored that Mishnah, the Gemara is now going to explain it in greater detail. This is no longer relevant to our sugya. We're just going to explain this Mishnah virtually word for word. And therefore, gufa. Matzah batinik mushlach. You find the child, Nebuch, who is abandoned. So far, we just repeated the Mishnah word for word. And now we repeat, that you save a Jewish child because Roiv Yisrael, you assume it's Jewish, that's only for purposes of going and the Mechayim. Mechayim means to go and give food to the child, raise the child, allow the child to prosper. If the child afterwards becomes 15 or 18 and it's a girl and she wants to marry a kohen, the shenisht. Because we only have one roiv, we don't have two roivs. That this mishnah is coming to tell the halacha that you're allowed to go and extricate the child even on Shabbos, even though it means digging and doing a melacha on Shabbos, but it's because nefesh. Did Shmuel insist for purposes of saving this child that it's got to be Roiv Yisrael, so we assume that it's Yisrael, and then we're going to go and violate the Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh? When it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, we don't look at Roiv. Even if Roiv of the town is Goyim, not Jews, Roiv of the town of Goyim, still you go out and you machal Shabbos because of Bikoch Nefesh. That's one of the hetayrim for the Hatzolah that they go on called on Shabbos, even if the person is Chas V'Sholem, even if the person who is sick, Chas V'Sholem, happens to be a Goy. Because when it comes to Bikoch Nefesh, you don't ask any questions. Jew, Goy, Shabbos, Bikoch Nefesh, you don't go Basarais. If that's the case, then why does Shmuel say over here, Lefakeach Olav Esagal, which we assumed is referring to a case when Roiv of the town are Yisraelim, and therefore we assume that this child is Yisrael, says Shmuel, for what din are we talking about? To go and save him on Shabbos, to dig him out from a gal? No. Even if it was Vaday Goy, not Vaday Goy, but even if it was a Safi Goy, we would still go and save him, because by Pikuach Nefesh, you don't ask any questions. In fact, Shmuel is not talking about the case of the Yisrael, it's talking about the ratio of the Mishnah. That what? If most of the townspeople are Goyim, then we assume the child is an Oivik Chavim, is a Goy. Amr Shmuel, for certain purposes, you're right. However, if you're talking about life and death on Shabbos, you ignore the fact that Roiv of the town are Goyim. Therefore, it's very likely that this child is a Goy. I don't care. You're likely, Nish likely. When it comes to Pikuch Nefesh, we go the extra mile and we're going to save the child, even if the child turns out to be, or even if it's a suffix that it's a Goy. So, Gemara, now that we have this halach of Shmuel settled, we're going back to the three cases in the Mishnah. First case was Roiv Oiv Dichovin, the child has the status of Oiv Dichovin. Second case is Roiv Yisrael, the child has the status of Yisrael. Mechsa Mechsa, status is Yisrael. What halachic ramifications do we have as a result? What does it come to tell you? Omre Papa, lachiloi nevelis. Meaning, even according to Shmuel that we said a moment ago, that since it's Roiv Oiv Dichovin, even if it's Shabbos Kodesh, and even if you have to be over one of the Lamed Tes Melachos to save this child who's Nebuch buried under some building collapse, avalanche, whatever it happens to be, when it comes to Bikuch Nefesh, we don't ask any questions, you go and save the child. Okay, I saved the child. Now that I saved the child, I see the child is hungry. What do I feed the child? I don't have to go and buy Cholov Yisrael milk or buy super duper glad kosher meat. I can even give the child nevelis. Why? Because since Roiv of the town are Oiv the Kechavim, I can assume that he's an Oiv the Kechavim and give him non-kosher food. Now, in Roiv Yisrael, Yisrael, am I Hilchasa? He said if most of the townspeople are Yisrael, we'll assume that the child is Yisrael. What are the halachic ramifications? Amra papal haqsul aveda, to return an aveda to him. Normally, if an aveda was lost by a goy, you do not have to go and return the aveda to a goy. If you want to make a kiddush Hashem, that's a different story. And you hear all the time in the papers about yidden that made a kiddush Hashem and they gave back an aveda. Somebody lost money, somebody lost jewelry, whatever. They give it back. That's kiddush Hashem. But we're talking about putting aside the kiddush Hashem aspect. There is no din of returning an aveda to a goy, only returning it to a Jew. And therefore it says, Roiv Yisrael, if Roiv of the townspeople happen to be Yisraelim, we will assume that is Yisrael, so that when this kid grows up, and he's now 10, 12, 15, 20 years old, and he says, I lost something, and I found that lost item, you give it back, because you assume that he is a Yisrael. Mechzal, mechzal Yisrael, l'may hilchasa. If it's exactly 50-50, you also assume it's Yisrael. What is the halacha there? What are the ramifications? Amar Reish Lakish l'gabi l'nezakin, l'gabi hilchis hezik. Now, we haven't learned this yet, Mitch, and we're going to get to this in Bava Kama. But there it says in the Gemara that because the Goyim abandoned the Shiva Mitzvahs b'nei Noyach, it says the Pasuk, Omad vayater Goyim. The Gosh Baruch Hu was matir the Mominus, the Nechosim of a Goy. In which respect was the Kodesh Baruch Hu matir? So if you want to look quickly at the Rashi is right before the wide lines. Linizokin, four lines before the wide lines. Ditnan Bavakama, Shor Shal Yisrael Shenogach, Shor Shal Kanani Potur. Shor Shal Kanani Shenogach, Shor Shal Yisrael, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, Mishalim Nezik Shalim. Now, again, this sounds, if you will, unfair and discriminatory, but this is the halacha. Mitchum, we learn Bava Kama, we'll learn more about it, that this was, if you will, a punishment that the Goyim didn't take upon themselves, the Shiva Mitzvah B'nei Noyach. And what's the deal? If a Jewish-owned shor gored a non-Jewish-owned shor, you're potter. It's got to be kigach shorish es shor re'ehu. Means one Jewish-owned shor to another Jewish-owned shor, then you got to pay. But if it's a Jewish-owned shor, negiach shor shekanani, you're potter. The other way around. If the shor shel Kanani noga shor shel Yisrael, he's got to pay. And even if it's the first time, as we know from Masechta Bava Kama, there's a difference between a shor tam And a shor mu'at. Shor tam means that if a Jewish owned shor gored for the first time, or even for the second time, you only have to pay chutzi nezek. It's only three times it establishes a chazaka, and therefore it's a shor nachan or a shor mu'at, then you have to pay nezek shalom. But that's by a Jew that is goring, or a Jewish owned shor that is goring another shor. However, if you're talking about a goyish shor, beint mu'ad, beint tam, beint mu'ad, mishalim nezik shalim. Yisrael, Yisrael, tam mishalim chutzi nezik, mu'ad mishalim nezik shalim, like we said. So therefore, there's a major difference between whether this child that we're saving, if he has a status of a Jew or a status of a goy. And dozok timar, if the town is exactly 50-50, we will assume that the child is a Jew for purposes of nezakim. So zok timar, what does that mean in practical terms? Obviously, we're not talking about the child when he's a child. Go fast forward 20 years from now, and now he's an adult, and he owns a shor, and this shor was involved in some sort of altercation with somebody else's shor. Zok timar, hey chedam, inayme de nakhe tura didon le tura didei, are we talking about that a shor that belonged to a Jewish person went and shtoist. Shtoist means gored the shor of this child who was originally mushlach in the city, in the town. And we've saved him, and we adopted him, and we call him now a Jew. And you're saying that if one of our shvarim goes and gores his shor, he has the status of a Jew, which means that we'd have to go and pay him, if it's a tam, chutzi nezik, if it's a mu'ad, nezik sholeim. Lay malay, why? Why can't you go and say to this fellow, I see right Yisrael at Ushkoil? After all, the reason why we saved you and the reason why we adopted you and allowed you to live and all the rest is because Mechz al Mechz is the din of Yisrael. Fine. However, I don't know. There's at least a 50% chance that you're not Jewish. And if you're not Jewish, then I don't have to give you anything because the Shoshal Yisrael Shenogach Shoshal Akim is Potter. So, I see Raya prove that you are Yisrael Ushkoil. Hamoitzim mechaveir all of a Raya. The Tumaloi Tzrich, it's the other way around. The Nachi Turidi Dei, the Turidi Don. That his shor went and gored one of our shvar. How much does he have to pay? Palga Mishalim. Like a regular Jew. A Yisrael, first time, you pay Tam, you pay Chutzi Nezik. Aye, maybe he's a goy, and therefore he has to pay Nezik Shalim. The Idach Palga Omelahu, he can tell us. He can go and say, I see right the love Yisrael. If you can prove that I'm a goy, then be'etin l'choin, then I'll give you the second half. But since you cannot prove, okay, so therefore I have the status of a Jew, and I'll pay tam chutzi nezik. So those are the three nafkiminis, legabi oiv kechovim, he has the status of oiv kechovim. If roiv of the town are goyim, he has the status of a goy. That although there's a mitzvah to go and save him, pikuach nefesh, etc., but you can go and feed him non-kosher food. If it's Roiv Yisrael, he has a din of Yisrael that you even return to him an Aveda. And if it's Mechz al Mechz, he has a din of Yisrael, then Zakin, that if his shor went and gored one of our shvarim, then he only has to pay Chutzi Nezik, unless you can prove that he is a goy, that he would have to pay Nezik Shalom. And with this, we conclude the first parak in Masechtas Ksubas, Hadlach Psul Nisis, Lach Psul Nisis, Lach Psul Nisis, and Mitzshem tomorrow will begin, O Isha Shenis Armalah. The boys say have a wonderful day, and Mi'at Hashem, 8:05 tomorrow morning. Okay, everyone? Zag Yiben, Zag Gezint, have a wonderful day. Kol Tov. Thank you all for joining.
I have a comment.
Yes, Shlomo.
It seems like all these cases we've looked at today,